God's amazing grace. You know, I think that sometimes in life we can get so caught up in the pressures of this world that we don't take the time to literally sit back and just acknowledge God for who He is and everything that He's done for us. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses number 8, says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves, it is a gift of God." Someone say gift. "Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not for yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And I think that it's important that as we walk with God, we have to remember the grace of God that's upon our lives. We have to remember that the only reason you and I were given a second chance was because of His grace on our lives. And when you really look at what the word grace means, it gives you a new sense of meaning to life. Because the Bible tells us it was by His grace that we are saved. And when you look at the word grace, it simply means undeserved favor or kindness shown without regard to one's worth, status, and it describes the undeserved kindness by which God gave salvation to all of mankind. You and I have been given a second chance at life because of His grace. Not because of our merit, not because of the good that's inside of us. We are at where we're at today simply because of who God is and the grace that He has on our lives. I think that every now and then when you've been walking with God for a little while, we can tend to forget what it took for you and I to live a good life. It took Jesus' death on the cross, so that you and I can live in peace, that we can live under His favor. And you have to remember that when God chooses a man or a woman, He doesn't look at our gifting, He doesn't look at our resume, He doesn't look at how long you've been around. He simply looks at a willing heart. And Romans chapter 11, 5, 6 says this: "There are people that God has chosen by His grace. And if He chooses them by grace, it is not for the things they have done. If they could be made God's people by what they did, God's gift of grace would not really be a gift." I think that where we're at, we really have to take a step back. And everything that we have, everything that you are, everything that I am, is because of the grace of God. Not because of our gifts. And I think that every now and then we can do that. We can walk and think of ourselves a little more higher than we ought to. And in this walk with God, we have to be careful. And we have to be people that on a consistent basis sit back and remind ourselves of God's grace. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this: "He who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Amen. See, that's good news, because no matter where you're at right now, whether it's good or bad, God already had a purpose for your life. God already knew that there would be a time where you would come to a crossroad and you would be given an opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. And I just want to remind all of us that it's by God's grace that we stand here today. It's by God's grace. You have to know that he has a purpose for your life. And for some, that purpose has yet to unfold. But because you got to understand something, when God calls a man, he calls him to three areas. And I want to give you them real quick. Is that all right? See, the calling of God can be broken out in three areas. When God calls man onto himself, he first calls them to salvation. And the call of salvation has to do with man's acknowledgement that Jesus is Savior of the world. The call to salvation is an acknowledgement that he died for our sins and we accept him as our Lord. God has called every man to salvation. And salvation gives us a new opportunity at life. It's in his salvation that you and I can walk in peace. It's in his salvation where we can realize what we were created for. And the Bible gives a good picture of this in Matthew 22, where it talks about when Jesus speaks about the parable and he tells them that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he tells them, go out and find anybody that is willing to come. See, the call to salvation is an invitation that God gives to us. It's one that you can decline or one that you can accept. But that's the first step to God's calling. And I have to mention that every stage of God's calling requires a new commitment. And there are many people that this is as far as they'll go. They say, God, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior, and I need you in my life. And it stops there. But you got to know God's called you to more. Someone say more. See, the second stage of God's calling, when God calls you to salvation, that's the first step. The second stage has to do with change. God calls man to change. And to change, it's the cause of being different. It means to lay aside, abandon old ways, or to be transformed. Because he's called us to a holy life. And when you look up that word holy, it simply means to be set apart. It has to do with God's perfection. Now, you and I aren't perfect, but the idea here is that we pursue God's perfection, and in doing so, change is inevitable. Because growth is a process. Change is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but God wants us to change and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we have to work in the little areas of our lives so that our attitudes will change, so that the pride inside of us will die, and we will live with humility and be willing to do whatever it is that he has asked of us. See, many are genuine in their desire to change, yet they don't move beyond their desire. You hear me? There are many people, they say, I want to change, but it stops there. All it is, it's a desire. You have to understand that there is combat when it comes to change. There are strongholds that live in our minds. And for some of us, there are things inside of us that we literally have to pray for so God can remove. But you got to be willing to let go. And thirdly, I'll just end here. God calls us to salvation. He calls us to change. And he calls us to the ministry. Someone say ministry. The word ministry in the New Testament means to be a servant and to serve in menial tasks. And I think that when people think they've called, when they hear, I've been called to the ministry or I'm called to the ministry, I think that in some senses, we have distorted what that really means. You know, last week we did the gifts test, and the week before that we taught about the gifts of God. You got to know that God gives you gifts so that you can use them for his honor and his glory. See, being called to the ministry doesn't necessarily mean called to leadership, but it means to serve in small things. This is why the Bible says, if you're faithful in the little, he will put you over much. There are a lot of people that they want the much, but they've never been faithful in the little. There's some people that say, let me lead, but they don't know how to follow. You know, I learned years ago that he who cannot obey will never be able to command. This is why the stages have to progress correctly. Salvation, we acknowledge that he's Lord. Two, we start to change and we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, because not all of our philosophies are correct. And there are some, we live and we die by our philosophy. Come on, somebody. Want to correct me, and I just read you a scripture. Come on, somebody. I'm like, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. But this is what I mean. Well, I don't. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about reading the Bible for what it means, not what we think. And not how we want to distort it so that it can justify our actions. The Holy Spirit just moved, so I hope you're ready for. Come on, somebody. See, many Christians get frustrated because they want more ministry, and they don't get that more ministry means more commitment and more dying to self. Because ministry means serving at menial tasks. And there are so many areas in this church that need service. When you look at our children's ministry, we need more teachers. When you look at the usher team, we need more ushers. When you look at the greeting or the evangelism team. And some of you, when you truly begin to step out by faith, God's going to not only enhance your gift, but he's going to give you more gifts. Romans 12, 4, 6 says this, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, but all members have the same function, and so we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. We are all important to the ministry. You are important to this church. And God desires to use you. You have to understand that it's not about position. It's not about title. And remember this, that the differences in our calling, the differences in our gifting, only lies in its function, not in its importance. All ministries are important and valued. They're all needed. And when I first got saved and people would tell me things like, God has called you, I didn't understand what they were talking about. It was a concept that I couldn't grasp. But as I got to know God, and as I began to change, and I did away with pride, I did away with selfishness, God gave me a heart for people. And the man that I was created to be slowly started to rise. But some of us, we got to put the old man down. We got to die to self. Old person got to go. When that person arises, we got to slay that person so that we can step into what God has for us. And you might be saying, well, I don't know what I have to give. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And in other words, you have a measure of faith. You have a measure in which you can give something to God. And God will use your gift in whatever proportion you're willing to give it. I used to think that I had to be perfect and have it all together before I could serve. Now, granted, let me clarify this. Because when we first started, when we first took over the church, it was like, yes, do whatever, you know how to sing, you know how to do this, you know how to pray. Come on, somebody. We use anybody. But as we grow, we now have to raise the level of excellence and the level of our character so that we can be anointed to do his good work. In other words, the things inside of us that nobody knows got to go. The things that are not right have to be removed. Every ministry is important. And I just want to tell you that you're valued. You matter. We need you. We need you to be the man and woman God's called you to be. And in doing so, God will not only bless you, he will bless your household. He will bless this house. But we have to be people that understand that order. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to change. And he calls us to the ministry. And I would say, fourthly, you got to know that all ministries are important. And I end with this. There was a story of a man named Charlie Plum. And he retired as a captain of the U.S. Navy, and he served in Vietnam over 75 missions from the U.S. aircraft carrier called Kitty Hawk. And the story goes that on May 19, 1967, during his 75th mission, the veteran pilot Charlie Plum, he found himself in a North Vietnam prison as a prisoner of war. And he was held there for 6 years. For 6 years, they humiliated him, they starved him, they tortured him, and they forced him to live in filthy conditions. In 1973, Charlie Plum was released, and he continued his career in the Navy. One day, he and his wife Kathy were eating dinner at a restaurant when a young man came to him and said, "You are Plum. You're Charlie Plum. You flew a jet fighter in Vietnam." Charlie looked at the young man and said, "Yes, that's right. I did." The young man went on to say, "It was Fire Squadron 114 on the Kitty Hawk, wasn't it? You were shot down. You parachuted into the enemy's hands, and they kept you for 6 years. Am I correct?" Charlie Plum at this point now looked at the young man and was like, "How in the world do you know this, and who are you?" And as he stared at the young man said, "I was the young man that packed your parachute." Charlie Plum rose, gave the man a hug, and he said, "You don't know how many prayers of thanks I gave to God for the man that packed my parachute." If the little things didn't matter, Charlie Plum would have never made it. And I pray that our church would never be an opportunistic church, that we would be willing to preach but ain't willing to set up chairs. I pray to God that we would never want to be the leader, but we don't want to do the little things that nobody else sees. Because let me tell you this, great leaders are made in prayer. Great leaders constantly die to themselves. You may have all the gifting in the world, but if you live a life of compromise, if you live a life that says, "I can do it based on my talents and I got this," I hate to tell you, but you will not be useful in the kingdom of God. My prayer is that our church would be a servant church. We gotta, in order for us to go to the next level, and I'm telling you this, Sundays were about 80, 85 people. If we're gonna break 100 and stay above 100, our commitment has to go to the next level. And I'm not talking about doing, but I'm talking about meeting needs. We have to go to the next level of our commitment when it comes to change. And our willingness to die to ourselves so that we can serve with the anointing of God. When you are sensitive and you're in the will of God, God will show you a need that needs to be met spiritually, and you can pray for someone and then transformation can happen. But if God's people don't walk in power and they have the wrong concept of ministry, that all it is showing up on Wednesday, all it is coming on Sunday and leaving right after, then we're never going to get to where God's called us to be. Because we haven't been called to just have a service. We are called to the business of transforming lives for God's honor and God's glory. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I know we did things a little backwards tonight. But listen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is what we're going to do. Right there in your seat, I'm going to make an altar call. Because I believe God's calling many of you to the